for our last message. Appreciate Brother Tom Gillum. This is Brother Tom's 25th year. Amen. That's a quarter of a century. I told him me and him both is getting older. I appreciate God sending him by our way. I remember that morning he mounted the pulpit and preached, and God touched my heart. He's been a coming back ever since. And I want you to hear him gladly. Don't know what he's going to preach about. Know he's going to preach about the Bible. Know that. And he'll help you if you'll just open up your heart. Take us to about 5 till. And we love you, preacher. Amen.
You'll find our text in the book of Genesis. Book of Genesis. We appreciate the opportunity to be back on these grounds again. And thank the Lord for the privilege. 25 years, gracious. 25 years, a long time to do anything, isn't it? This is a gold letter year for me, though. I've been saved 50 years this year. I have been married for 48, and I have been preaching for 47. And I'll soon be 70 years old. So this is not my first time at the rodeo. But as a brother told us, if he's second best, well, I must be 10th or 20th best this morning. But we thank God that he uses all kinds, don't he? I want to preach in these morning services, as the Lord would allow us, on some messages that God gave me some time ago. They came about by two statements that I heard from two different preachers at two different times, poles apart, two different meetings. But God took both of these statements, put them together, and formed about seven sermons out of them. One of the statements was that a preacher made, he just made it off the top of his head, that God often does things in a three-day pattern. And I got to looking in the Bible. Man, there's too many of them for it to be a coincidence. Son, he's been crossing his T's and dotting his I's for a long time in a three-day pattern. The other little statement that I heard a preacher make was that things happen, but they don't just happen. So in these morning services, I want us to look at some of those three-day patterns. And I want to preach on the God of the third day. Amen. Things happen, but they do not just happen. You cannot control what happens to you. It's impossible. But you can control how you respond to it. Well, preacher, how in the world am I? I'm going to give you a foolproof plan to respond rightly to everything that happens to you. The next time something happens to you, do not look at the happening. Amen. Just pick a boo behind it and see who's behind it, and you shall respond properly. Because things happen, but they don't just happen. He is behind them all. Well, who give him that right? He's God of the third day. He's been crossing his T's and dotting his I's in a three-day pattern for a long time. And I want to begin this morning in Genesis chapter number 1. He comes right out of the gate. I want to look at the first 3 days of creation. He comes right out of the gate telling us that he is in control of all things that happen to us. I want to look at these first 3 days of creation, and I want to preach this morning on the coronation of the God of the third day. Webster's English Dictionary defines coronation as the crowning of a person by a particular happening. Right out of the gate, God the Father is going to crown God the Son right out of the gate in these first 3 days of creation. Christ is the key this morning that unlocks the golden door into the temple of truth. Jesus said, "Search the scriptures for they all." I can only figure him saying all that he must be talking about the first 3 days of creation. They all testify of me. Hey, lest I get back to my room this afternoon and forget to tell you and feel so bad that I forgot to tell you. I wanted to tell you this. Things happen, but they don't just happen. Peek-a-boo behind it. There is somebody standing in the shadows that is directing the show, and it is the... You say you don't know what's happened to me. I don't need to know. I peek-a-booed back there long enough to know he's back there behind it all. Are you listening to me? As we look at the first day of creation this morning, I want us to see that it testifies of Christ's birth. Christ's birth. It says in Genesis 1 and verse 1, in the beginning God, what? Created. The little word created here is a little Hebrew word to make from nothing. To make from nothing. Everything God made, including you and I, nothing. Well, he made us out of dirt. You can have all my dirt. I ain't interested in none because it's nothing. Huh? You say, what in the world's that got to do with the birth of Christ? Gabriel told the Virgin Mary, behold, thou shalt. What? Conceive, bring forth a child, thou shalt call him the Son of God. Conceive! The Greek word for to make from nothing. Joseph didn't supply any seed. Mary didn't supply any egg. The only thing I can figure, Mary's got something inside of her, and it wasn't made with anything in this world. Are you listening to me this morning? Oh, the very first day testifies of Christ's birth. Says in verse 2, and the earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved, brooded upon the face of the water. You say, what in the world is that got to do with the virgin birth? The Bible says that Gabriel told Mary, he said, the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you, and that which shall be born of you shall be the Son of God. Oh, this first day is speaking of Christ's birth. Almost in the first two verses of the Bible makes you want to stop and sing a verse or two of more about Jesus. Would I know? Beholding and communing with him in every word, hearing his voice in every line, making each saying mine. Let us search the scriptures. Let us look behind what is happening to us and see him standing somewhere there in the shadows. This whole book, from beginning to end, it is a book about him and him alone. I had the privilege years ago of hearing old John Phillips twice in person. And the first time my wife and I heard him was down at Camp Zion, Myrtle, Mississippi. And he made a statement right out of the gate. He just had gotten the pulpit. He made a statement. And when he made that statement, my wife's ears perked up. Man, she wanted to hear this guy. He made this statement. He said, I love murder mysteries. He said, I have read murder mysteries all my life. Well, she's read murder mysteries as long as I have known her. I figure sometimes she's just trying to figure out how to kill me and get away with it. He said, John Phillips said, the first murder mystery I ever read, he said, I went to the last chapter before I ever read the book. He said, I found out who did it. He said, I went back to the chapter one, and I kept my eye on him the whole way. He said, the day God saved me, he said, I did that same thing with the Bible. He said, I went to the last chapter, and he said, I found out who won. And he said, I went back to Genesis chapter number one, and he said, I kept my eye on him all the way, because he said, I knowed he was behind it all. Hey, lest I forget, things happen, but they do not just happen. The source of Christ's birth. But I see also in our text not only the source of Christ's birth, but I see the scripture in Christ's birth. The Bible says in verse 3, and God, what? This is the first time that there will be a word uttered into the air. God said. I thought it was interesting, this little Hebrew word for said. We get our little word phonics or phonetics from it. You that are sitting here this morning and you learn how to read by pictures, I guarantee you can't spell a lick. But if you learn how to spell phonetically, speak phonetically, son, you can spell with the best of them. Are you listening to me? You say, what in the world's a big deal about that? God has made a sound. It is a sound come out. Sounds become words. Words become phrases. Phrases become sentences. Sentences become paragraphs. Paragraphs become chapters. Chapters become books. Books become libraries. He has spoken. You say, what's the big deal about that? John said, in the beginning was the and he was with God, and he was Word God. He said this phonetical sound took upon himself a body and came and dwelt among us, and we beheld him, the only begotten of the Father. Oh, I'm talking about the scriptures and his word. He placed his word above his name, placed it above his food. Oh, may we hide this word in our heart. Here, God has spoken. Scripture and Christ's birth, source of Christ's birth. But could I mention the shining of Christ's birth? God said, let there be light. There was light. Time out! Hold on! I got a problem with the Bible. Where in this world did this light come from? Because it's going to be the fourth day before he ever makes the sun, moon, and stars. Where in this world has this blast of light come from? Out of his mouth. When he said a word, boom, the whole place lit up because the light of the world has come out of the Father. I love the hound out of that, don't you? I'm talking about things happen, but they do not just happen. He says in verse 4, and God saw the light that it was good. Verse 5, God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the... What in the world is happening here? He said the light was good. Almost every day of creation, even the day he created you and I, he closes the day by saying it was a good day. Not this day. He said the light was good, but he saw absolutely nothing good about the day. Did I forget to tell you? Things happen, but they don't just happen. Notice with me, if you would, if you've got your Bibles there, notice the second day testifies of Christ's death. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 6, and God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the water. Let it divide the waters from the waters." This firmament, this is the arch in the sky. The word firmament is the Hebrew word for divide. It is what divides this world from that world. It is the thing that you must go through in order to leave here and go there. I am convinced with all of my heart that this firmament is a type or a picture of the cross. You listen to me and you listen well. You are not going from here to there lest you go home by the way of the cross. If you have never gone by the way of the cross, you are not going there, but you are going there. Are you listening to me? The foolishness of the cross is foolishness to the world. The preaching of the cross is to some foolishness. But the old rugged cross is despised by the world. But it has a wondrous attraction for me. That bloody cross is a pretty thing to me. It is a beauty to me. Oh, you cannot go to heaven lest you go by the way of the cross. I love what he says about this firmament. You'd almost think God wrote the Bible. What? Look at verse 6. And God said, "Let there be." Changes his whole tune in verse 7. And God made. One verse, he says, "Let there be." Next verse, he made. Two totally different words. Talking about this firmament, picture, type of the cross. I was thinking about that, "let there be." It is something that has already in existence, but cannot be seen. Already in existence, but it cannot be seen. The little word "made," it means to make something clear that has previously been hidden. You say, "Preacher, what in the world's that got to do with the cross?" You remember John when he was out on the Isle of Patmos when he saw the Lamb? He said he looked like to him a lamb that had been slain before the foundation of the world. I'm telling you, long before Jesus needed a cross, he had done killed his son in eternity past. He has kept that cross hidden. He has kept it in the shadows. But oh, one day on Golgotha's hill, that which has been hidden has been made clear. God has already had it. He didn't do it as a last ditch effort. He has got it, and it appears upon the seed. I love the hound out of that, don't you? Hey, things happen, but they do not just happen. Watch the text. Verse 8, God called the firmament heaven, the evening and the morning. What? Almost every day of the week, he has closed the day saying, "Man, that was a good day. Woo, man, we had a good day today." First day, Christ's birth. Light was good. Not too good of a day. Second day, Christ's death. No mention of it being a good day. He didn't see nothing good about it all. Lest I forget to tell you, because some of you are looking at me like I'm crazy. Things happen. Things are happening to you. They're driving you crazy. peekaboo behind them, you'll get some help when you see the one that's behind it. He's a running a show. He hadn't taken a vacation. No mention of it being good. Can I mention the third day? Gracious. If the first day speaks of his birth, second day speaks of his death, you would almost think we got the Word of God laying in our lap if the third day speaks of his resurrection. Gracious. Some of you might would do more than what you're doing right now doing this. Huh? I ain't talking to you this morning about something that is second best. I'm talking to you this morning about the better. The best. You got up out of the grave. How did it happen? Watch the text. Don't take my word for it. I love this. Third day testifies of Christ's resurrection. Verse 9. God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land... I'm interested in this word. The little word appear. It's awful deep. I don't even know if you can get this or not. It means to come up out of. Come up out of. Maybe we'll stay and have a little session after lunch till somebody gets it. To come up out of. Wow. The whole globe is underwater. He ain't never made no new water. The only water we got's the first water he's ever made. He's got the whole earth baptized in water. And here it comes up out of the water. Is that not what he did? He come up out of the grave. I love that, don't you? Hey, things happen, but it don't just happen. There's a God behind it. The Bible tells us not only do we see the letting of Christ's resurrection, but I see the life of Christ's resurrection. On the first day, he said the earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face. Everything was drab. Everything was dark. Everything was dismal. Probably Baptists in that first day are like they are today. I tell you, y'all better pray. These are dark days we're living in. This is it. Here he comes. Oh, it's bad. When it's very clear out of Proverbs chapter 4 for the child of God, it is not getting darker for us. It's getting brighter for us. Huh? Are you listening to me? We're not talking about this being a bad day. It's a dark day. No, it's getting brighter and brighter. Are you listening to me? Here, notice the life of Christ's resurrection. Look at verse number 10. God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called his seas, and God saw that it was good. God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed it in itself upon the earth, and it was so. Once the earth, it was drab, it was dark, it was dismal, it was like I was when I was lost in sin, I was dark, I was dead, but once that water come up out of there, and it appeared, everything started blooming, it was springtime everywhere, and the blooms were blooming red and purple and yellow and everything. That's what happened in my soul when he turned the lights on inside of me. Hey, things happen, but they do not just happen. Did you notice what I noticed about the third day? He said in verse 10, it was good, but he don't stop there. Verse number 12, and the earth brought forth grass, herb yielding seed after its kind, the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind. Gracious, he's done given a double good. Wow. Hey, why didn't he do that with the other days? The day his son left the portals of glory, coming to this earth to be born as a human, to die for his people. He did not see nothing good about it. The day his darling son died and they laid him in a tomb, he did not see anything good about it at all. But I'm telling you, that day he got up out of the grave, he said, now that's good. That's real good. That boy's fixing to come home again. Swing wide the gates. He's a coming home. Hey, if he has that meticulously handled the first 3 days of creation right down to the letter to magnify his birth, his death, and his resurrection. I don't know if you can get this or not. Could it be that he is behind what's happening to you? Are you listening to me? I was wondering this morning, have you ever embraced the gospel as your story? He died for me, was buried for me, he arose for me. I tell you, if you have, when things happen to you, it'll be extremely easy for you to look behind your happenings, see him standing somewhere. Amen. There in the shadows. I was thinking this morning in closing of old Alfred Hackley. There's an old boy that had it, some real happenings. He was a street preacher in England. Preached most of his messages in Hyde Park. He was preaching in Hyde Park one day on the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There was a heckler in the crowd, and he started hollering, "Oh, we don't want to hear nothing about an old dead Jew. That Jew's dead. Don't be telling us nothing about him." More old Alfred would preach, the louder the heckler would get. Finally, so dejected, so despondent, Alfred Hackley closed up his Bible, went to the house. He was so depressed. He was so down. He felt like he had just been an utter failure in letting that heckler heckle him down. They said about 12:30 in the morning, in about a 10-minute span of time, Alfred Hackley sat down by the piano, pencil in hand, wrote down the words and the music to this song, "I Serve a Risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy, and I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives, he lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me, and he talks with me. And he lives on the narrow way. He lives salvation to impart. You ask me, how do you know he lives? He lives inside of my heart. I don't know what's happening to you. Hey, better yet, I don't know what's going to happen to you. Oh, Roberts used to come on TV, had bony fingers sticking in the TV, said something good's going to happen to you today. Biggest lie's ever been told on TV. Let me tell you the truth, something bad's fixing to happen to you, and it may happen to you before you get back home. I tell you, while you're just experiencing the little happenings, you better learn how to peek-a-boo back there and see things happen, but they do not just happen. Have you embraced the gospel? Maybe you need to get in this old altar and embrace the gospel. Maybe you're going through some happenings this morning. They have got you haywire. You say, "Preacher, I need to get in an altar. I need to pick a boo behind what's happening to me." And maybe he might just dance by and let you just see his hinder parts. It'll be enough for you if you just know he's behind it all. Preacher, if you don't mind, could I ask Renfro's to come and sing "There Is a Remedy"? He is the remedy. Hey, while they're singing "There Is a Remedy," look behind what's happening to you. The remedy, you all eat up with the happenings. Look behind what's happening to you. You may see the remedy. Are you listening to me? I'm talking about is death, burial, resurrection, coronation of the God of the third day. Open the Bible up, magnifying his boy Jesus. I love that, don't you? You listen to him sing. Altar's open. You don't have to wait till they start singing. If you want to come peek-a-boo behind you happenings, you may catch a glimpse of him.